name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all sins and evil desires from us, and pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Holy Trinity is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I, here am I," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together," says the Lord. "Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it,' so I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there." This is the word of the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Your blessing be on your people.
O Lord, how many are my foes?
Many are rising against me.
Many are saying of my soul,
"There is no salvation for him in God."
But you, O Lord, are a shield about me.
My glory and the lifter of my head.
I cried aloud to the Lord,
and he answered me from his holy hill.
I lay down and slept.
I woke again, for the Lord sustained me.
I will not be afraid of many thousands of people
who have set themselves against me all around.
Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek.
You break the cheek of the wicked.
Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Your blessing be on your people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Your blessing be on your people.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the third and the fourth chapters. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith had come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to a promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, but when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, What is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten
mercy, peace, from the one who casts demons into the abyss. Our text today is Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 37, especially this verse. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" You may be seated. Yes, it's insanity that I'm up here. And yes, he's done a whole lot more insane, including everything he's ever done, including casting demons into the abyss. If we were forced to find a way to feel bad for these demons, it would be for the fact that they want nothing to do with Jesus and yet are bound by their nature, forced to obey him. I can understand wanting to be left alone to my own devices in the dark, where it's just easier and where it hurts more. This is one of the gospel's more terrifying revelations when we hear out of this man's mouth an untold number speaking, and we realize there's a lot more beneath the surface than our eyes can pick up. The unseen can be inexplicably scarier than the seen. Our imagination cannot fathom the depths that evil can go. They sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, verse 26, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons, who for a long time had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but in the tombs. It was a man, a certain man, and no doubt the town knew everything about him. Did he live in a home before this? Did he have a wife or a daughter or a mother and father who laid at bed at night listening to the echoes of their son's screams from the darkness? When he saw Jesus, 28, he cried out, fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." What a joke. If it were the demons speaking alone, how dare they plead for mercy after what they've done to this man year after year? If a part of that was speaking was the man himself, how lost was he in the dark that he couldn't escape it? Yet he was the one who came to Jesus. One minute, we're ready to be saved, and the next minute, we're ready to go back into the shadows. These words came from his mouth, but we know that the proclamation comes from the darkness. Jesus is the one that the darkness is forced to proclaim, whether they like it or not. Falling down before Jesus, crying out, is a good start. But that's only because Jesus came to him first, from his land in Galilee to the shores of the Gerasenes, specifically for this man's soul. For this purpose. If Jesus had not come, this man would have still been there until his body broke too much and he would die. And that's where we were found too, by the God who came to our shores to rescue us in our land, to see us for who we were born to be. It's nice to be sought after. But Jesus looked at the man in his eyes, and through his eyes, the man and the demons stared back. Can you associate this? We can imagine the possessed man seeing this conversation maybe in an outer body experience on the sidelines between God incarnate and the one controlling his own tongue. And we can see the other bystanders not realizing what's beneath the surface. They don't see this man coming to Jesus in an eternal battle for every single step. He pushes his body forward, further, a little further towards Jesus, and the demons pull him back, because they know what's coming. Christ, the inevitable. And Christ, the inevitable, verse 29, had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. Legion, for there were many. A Roman legion at this time had about 6,000 soldiers. The man didn't reply, "School," because there were many demons like a school of fish. He replied, "War, battle, army." They were on the attack, and their end game was the destruction of this man and the removal of his identity and his soul. It wasn't to kill him. It was to drive him mad and leave him alone, living in a nightmare which he will never escape from. And they could do it because they had all the time in the world. If you ask, "What's your name?" what would come out of your mouth? Would it be your Christian name, or would it be anger, money, self-pity, doubt? We have moment after moment of these small battles where we feel weak, where God's word is not on our tongues. But Satan has all the time in the world for us. And we assume that the man is living in the tombs because that's where the demons are. And that's where they brought him, because in the absence of God, we will be led to those types of places. But man's fascination with places we should not go is deadly. What if he lived in the tombs, not because the demons brought him there, but because they were already there and he found exactly what he was looking for? He said legion because many demons entered him and the man found what he was looking for. Bloody Mary, anyone? Ouija boards, anyone? What's here is a rejection of God's commands, a disbelief that the badness doesn't exist. I know it's not real, but it would be fun to try it. When God explicitly commands us not to touch things, it's because we'll get burnt. Did you have to learn the hard way not to touch the stove or stick a fork in an electrical socket? What if we don't make it back home in time before the streetlights turn on? Or if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters right away, just a little bit more darkness, maybe one more day. The Old Testament explicitly forbids anything of the sort, calling on the dead or using mediums, not because it works, but because it opens your chest to be filled with filth where God should be. And look what it can do. Verse 29, "For many a time it seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by demons into the desert." They used him, his mouth and his tongue and his eyes and his hands, and they made him scream like a puppet pulling his strings into the wilderness, where all men belong who don't have Christ. The scorching heat, the chapped lips, the matted hair, the burnt skin. Be careful of what you wish for, because God knows what's on the other side. You've seen it too, in part, and I've seen it too, in part. We sneak away from the light, just a little, just to check, but no further, and a little further, and a little further, and we're without hope, and love, and grace, and life. That's how Judas did it, and that's how we do it. Someone should give these demons a tip. Should you possess a man, drive him to Aruba or Bermuda. But then again, Satan doesn't take pleasure in pleasure. He takes pleasure in your destruction. Until Christ comes, immovable and unavoidable, and the inevitable conclusion of Christ face to face with us must be the revelation of his love for mankind, for you, for me, and for our soul, and with his desire to break our bonds and lead us out of the wilderness. That's how he does it. Up to this point, legion had all the time in the world to torture this man to death, and when they died, he would find somebody else. Time is on my side. Christ says, "No, your time is up. No further. This is where it ends for you." They thought they had all the time in the world, but God created time, and he created the world, and they're his to command. Once Christ says it's done, it's done. When we doubt this, remember, Christ makes demons beg. If you today or yesterday or tomorrow realize how unworthy you really are, and all you can see is how much of a sinner you are, and you should be out in the wilderness, and your family comes looking for you, and you say, get away. Get away from me, you don't know who I am. Christ makes demons flee. He's got you covered. Verse 31, they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake where they were drowned. The word used for drowned here is the same word that's used for the seed that is choked out in the parable of the sower. And it's the only two times that word is used. Satan will choke us to death. Why did they drown the pigs? Why didn't they spend their time tormenting them? Pigs aren't worth Satan's time. You are. The scriptures don't tell us the fate of Legion after they drowned. I'm going to make a pitch that Legion is still here. We've seen what happens when we make God absent, and we inch closer and closer to the things that are dangerous to us. And when Christ says don't, we say yes, but. But take heart. Here comes the good part. The bad guys do not have all the time in the world. Christ gave back this man his sanity, his life. What was his first prayer like? His first shower? The knock on the door to his wife. He has transformed me. Behold, he makes all things new. And the darkness, and the nakedness, and the tombs, they're old news. And our new reality comes from his light, his righteousness, and an empty tomb. And it doesn't stop there. Verse 34. The herdsmen saw what happened, and they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Of course, he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Where else would he be? This is where he belonged the whole time. While he was being knit in his mother's womb, Jesus saw him at his feet, transformed by the Lord who loved him. And yes, that's us. And yes, it feels like insanity to be at the feet of Jesus saved. It doesn't seem right. Why me, O Lord? What is it to you and me? Get away. Leave me in the tombs where I belong. You don't know who I am. The Lord says, I know exactly who you are, Patrick. Your time is up. It's inevitable. I make all things new. And Revelation 22, which seemed like a fantasy, becomes our real. The darkness, the insane becomes sane, the drunken becomes sober, and the light crushes the darkness. When Christ says it's done, it's done. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened. It would be nice to stop here. I wouldn't like to continue because verse 35, they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. But all the people of the surrounding country and the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. It's unfortunate that we can't end this with everyone believing immediately and flocking to Christ. Like other miracles, they were too scared, though. They still didn't understand what was going on beneath the surface. But so what? You know what they do have? a new ambassador from Christ in their midst, ready to work, ready to unpack the miracle that they had seen, and to be a living example of Christ's love. Jesus got into the boat and returned, verse 37. And the man from whom the demons had gone begged again, this time that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. I'm glad we didn't stop earlier. Jesus told this man to stay behind as an ambassador in the world to confess the story of his transformation. And it will be the story of their transformation, and it spreads like a consuming wildfire, making all new things grow. And all the bad things are washed away. Behold, he makes all people new. This would be a great Pentecost text. We're here now. Christ comes again soon. And now we are growing and baptizing in his name as living witnesses, examples of the transformative power of God's love for his children. The world is full of fear. Mankind doesn't want to be saved. The darkness doesn't want the light. We would rather be a heap of bones sprawled out in a dead valley than let Christ come for us. We would rather be unappetizing to the crows. Tough luck. As we depart, transformed through our baptism and refreshed at the altar, we've already been given a new name. And the words that come out of our mouths are not our words, and they're not the words of the Lord. They're not of the world. Our new name is that which Christ has already given to us. So if you're asked, what is your name? It is Christ is my shield, my glory, the lifter of my head. You are his beloved. And he says, the tomb is for me, not for you, and it is no more. And now, you are under my possession, and neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, or powers, or anything else can say otherwise. Now that you bear his name, be washed. He says, sit at my feet and proclaim my good works until I come again. There's a lot of people in our land that are afraid. And we know what it's like not to be afraid anymore. Amen. The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, my help.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O King of kings and Lord of lords, you call out to every nation of the earth seeking repentance and justice, even as they rebel against your will. Work repentance in all civil leaders. Use them to defend the weak and to punish the guilty, that the church may have free course to preach the gospel. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, your Son sent the man formerly possessed by demons to declare how much God had done for him. May your church also, rescued from the snares of the devil, proclaim how much Jesus has done for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Compassionate Father, from you all fatherhood is named. We give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Be Father, we pray, to all orphans, to those whose fathers are negligent, and to those whose fathers are home with you, and lead the men of our congregation to teach, serve, and provide care and support within this church family. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have established governments and institutions for good order and our well-being. Guide and grant wisdom to leaders and citizens. Give peace, security, and good laws to our own country, our cities, and our communities. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, be a source of strength and hope for the children in our families and communities. Watch over all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kristen Gregory, Kristen Hanlon, Melinda Bergeron, Allie Moore, Shayla Moore, Alyssa Anderson, and Joelle Brotmarkle. We thank you for the birth of Wallace Octavius to Jason and Marta Lane. We pray that you would heal little Wallace's body, strengthen his mother, and sustain his family in this time. Thank you for the gift of holy baptism you have given to him. Prosper the work of First Concern, CareNet, and Clearway Clinic, preserving lives and helping mothers, fathers, and their children to flourish. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son Jesus had pity on the man afflicted with an abundance of demons. Have mercy now on those who are afflicted, especially Ayla Eagle, Noah Murphy, Ed Pinard, Diane Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Melinda Bergeron, Heather Connell, Matt DeBara, Kay Emmerich, John Erickson, Bobby Joe Ewing, Karina Faw, Jackie Gordon, Randy Hunter, Alyssa Youngkin, and our homebound Karen Hamill, Janet Lipke, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore, and all for whom we pray. Give them healing, strength, and an increase of faith. Thank you for hearing our prayers on behalf of Dana Blaze. Bless his continued recovery. Grant safe travel to him and Anne, and be with her throughout her ongoing chemo treatments. Grant comfort to all who mourn, especially to Marge Connell's neighbor Karen and her children as they mourn the death of their husband and father. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless our land. Give to us rain in due season, and grant that the fruits of the earth may grow abundantly, that we may receive from your hand our daily bread. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, Isaiah spoke of the new wine full of blessing that will not be destroyed. Grant us faithfully to eat and drink our Lord's own body and blood, given in the fellowship of this altar. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, you know the condition of our souls, that we frequently wander into sins, vice, and danger. Hear our prayers for the sake of Christ, who defeated legions of demons so that we might receive adoption as sons. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
I acknowledge my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Our Lord, to whom the glory and the power are thine, now and forever. Amen.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.